Okay, tonight's devotion, like I said earlier on, is taken from Psalm 51. But Psalm 51 has 18 verses, so we're not going to cover all it. But we're going to focus on just how should a Christian say sorry. So we're going to look at this question from Psalm 51. So things are truly different from us Christians when Jesus is our Lord and He has control of our lives. One area of our life that should be most impacted after our conversion, after we are saved, must be that of our relationship. Our relationship must be different. Like how we relate to one another, how we build up one another, or especially how we repair our relationships. Okay, it must be very different from the way the world does it. And when our relationship is strained or broken, saying sorry is most important. But many people don't say sorry. People may not say sorry for many, many reasons. And here are just three of them. They may say, it is not my nature to say sorry. Some may have said, I've never and I will never say sorry. But most of us will say, it is very awkward to say sorry. And there are definitely a lot more other reasons why we do not want to say sorry. And I'm sure you would have also noticed that even little children don't want to say sorry. But whatever is our reason for not saying sorry, we must hear the message that's in Psalm 51 tonight. If this attitude of not wanting to say sorry as a child of God, when we are in a strained and broken relationship, if this attitude really exists, then I'll say that the spirit and the truths of Psalm 51 is missing from this person's heart. Psalm 51 was King David's way of saying sorry to God for sinning against him when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and plotted the murder of her husband Uriah. So Psalm 51 is our model for saying sorry when we sin against God and we sin against one another. So for that devotion, we can look at a biblical standard regarding how to make an apology. Say again, Psalm 51 is the way a Christian is to say sorry to God and to one another. And we'll start looking at Psalm 51 again by saying this. Okay? Christians know how to say sorry because it is not different from the way we ask God to forgive us. The purpose of saying sorry is to seek forgiveness from a broken relationship, for the broken relationship to be restored. The first thing we learn from Psalm 51 about saying sorry to restore a relationship, the first thing is to beg for forgiveness. Psalm 51 verse 1, King David begged God to forgive him. King David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy mercies, blot out my transgression." King David never gave excuse. King David never said that he deserved mercy. King David said, "Please forgive me according to your mercy." He never demanded mercy. He begged for mercy. He begged for God's tender mercy towards him. Some people may have the idea that such begging, such humbling is only reserved for God. They may believe sincerely that we are not obligated to forgive one another, or we are not obligated to forgive one another, okay? And we are not obligated to confess our sins to one another. Now, if that is the conclusion, okay, I will say this, that is not biblical. Because James taught very clearly in chapter 5, verse 16, that we are to confess our faults one to another. And this confession is for the purpose of repairing and restoring strained and broken relationships. James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. We're more familiar with the effectual fervent prayer. But let us remember, it is fervent because we forgive one another we confess our faults to one another. So God, through James, clearly instructed us to confess our sin to one another when we have sinned against one another. So what is confession? Psalm 51 teaches us that confession is about agreeing with the accuser. To truly confess our faults to one another, we are to acknowledge our sins, that we have the sins that we have committed against the person that accuses us. Now we see this in the way David confessed his sin against God. Psalm 51 verse 4. In Psalm 51 verse 4. And we have to follow this example. This confession of sin that we find in Psalm 51 verse 4 is a biblical model. In that verse, okay, David said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou may be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." So we confess that we have sinned against somebody. We have sinned against God. We have sinned against one another. We have sinned against our spouses. We have sinned against our children. We must admit that. And then we must also admit we have done this evil. No, most of us don't really recognize that when we sin against somebody, how much harm, how much evil we have done to that person. And then King David said that thou mightest be justified. True confession means that the person that accuses us, the person that we sin against, is right and we are wrong. And be clear or be pure when thou judgest. The person is the innocent party. When we are the sinner, we are the guilty party. Now just jumping back to James chapter 5 verse 16 again. Right? You saw there early on the word is fault. But that word is better translated as transgression. So I repeat, true biblical confession is acknowledging I have sinned. I've done evil against the other person. And that person that I sinned against is right when he or she points out my sin. My accuser is the one that's innocent, the one that's clear and pure. I am the one that's guilty and sinful. True biblical confession has no place for the attitude that say, "I did nothing wrong." True biblical confession is not the knee-jerk reply. "It is not my fault. You started it first." That attitude is an attitude of arrogance. And very often, we will say, "It is not my fault." In true biblical confession, okay, God must be the apology that starts with, "If I am wrong. If I wrong you." Psalm 51 is very clear. A truly sorry person knows very well how much he or she has hurt the other person, how much he or she has sinned against God, how much hurt he has caused someone. And because he understands the pain, the injury, the trouble that he caused the other person, and then he become truly sorry and is truly broken up for inflicting such pain on the other person, that is when that person is truly confessing his sin and starting to say sorry correctly. True confession will humbly beg to be forgiven based solely on the grace and mercy of God and the person that we sinned against. And these are the things that is in the very heart of a person who is of a broken and contrite heart. The broken and contrite heart of the sinner is what makes the confession sincere. You know how very often we say, "This confession is not sincere." And that's because we don't sense any brokenness, any contrition in the person's heart. There must be brokenness, there must be contrite, of a contrite heart. And it's a broken and contrite heart that makes it possible for the guilty person to be forgiven. If this person wants to take us for a ride when we are the one that's hurt, or take God for a ride thinking that they are smarter than God, coming before him without a broken and contrite heart, let us read what Psalm 51, 16 and 17 says. David recorded for us, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offering." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise. God will never despise or turn away a truly broken person who acknowledges his sin. Now, in the opposite sense, when a guilty party is not truly broken, when a guilty party don't have a contrite heart, he may think that he is forgiven just because Christ died on the cross. He is very sadly mistaken, because this verse teaches very clearly, God will only forgive someone with a broken and contrite heart. At the same time, when a person is hurt, a person that's offended, is confronted by a truly remorse broken person, and this person comes to him with a truly broken and contrite heart, even when the party that's deeply hurt, he will be moved by that confession. And he will be able to find the strength in God to begin to forgive. Now, one more point here before we move on to the last point for tonight. The biblically broken and contrite person is a humble person. And we have a picture of what that looks like. He will be like the tax collector in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. When he came, come before God, the tax collector that came before God in Luke chapter 18, he dare not even lift up his head to the temple, and he just asked and begged God to forgive him. That should be the attitude of a person, of a Christian, who wants to say sorry. And we know how the story ended. It ended with a broken and contrite person being forgiven. Whereas the proud and the arrogant, self-righteous Pharisee was not. So the final part of this devotion is that there's only one way for God to forgive you, forgive me, and for us to forgive one another. There's only one way. And that one way is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. The apostle Paul recorded for us, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you. Let us not kid ourselves. It is very difficult to forgive someone who has hurt us. And I always believe that one of the greatest cuts that you can inflict on someone is that between a husband and a wife, where one of the spouse is unfaithful and commits adultery. And that kind of hurt is truly a cut that's deep into the soul, and it's very, very difficult to forgive. But no matter how painful it can be, this verse still applies. We must also realize, that the only reason we can forgive someone, it's not because I'm better than the other person. It's not because I'm spiritually more mature than the other person. That is not the reason why we can forgive someone. We must realize, that we can only forgive someone because God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. And it helps to really recognize how much it costs God to forgive us. Jesus said, to whom much is forgiven, he will love much. So let's remember, to forgive us, the Lord Jesus has to die on the cruel cross. He had to be separated from God, which he never had before. He was never ever separated from God before that. He has to be separated from the Heavenly Father. And not only that, he had to take on the sin of everyone that will trust in him. Our Lord Jesus gave up heaven's glory, took on humanity, died on the cross, the righteous for the unrighteous. So as you ponder over this, and especially when the hurt is very deep, and the more we ponder how much God loves us, the easier it will be for us to start to forgive someone who has hurt us deeply. And it is only through forgiveness that strained relationship and broken relationship can be repaired. So I say again, it is on this basis, Christ's death on the cross, that Paul says we are and we can forgive one another. So I'll read you the verse one more time, because that's how precious this verse is when it comes to broken relationship. God, through the Apostle Paul, tells us again, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven us. So last time, look at the conclusion and application. So after we confess our sin to one another, after we beg to be forgiven, the next step is the promise. We, the guilty party, we, the one that sinned against somebody, we must promise not to hurt the other person again. Repentance, true repentance, is the first application. The Christian way of saying sorry to repair a broken or strained relationship is to confess our sin against someone, beg for forgiveness, and repent. It is only in keeping the promise not to repeat the same hurtful attitude, behavior, and saying the same hurtful words that broken relationships are restored and reconciled. Biblical repentance is not the superficial, hollow, or very shallow, just to get over the tension. Maybe I use a child as an example. You know, how often when a child is wrong, we ask the child to say sorry. Yeah, they will say sorry. But they will say sorry unwillingly. Such an apology is superficial, hollow, and shallow. Biblical repentance is the heartfelt sorrow for sinning against God and our relationship against one another. And this heartfelt sorrow that will lead us to a change of behavior, change of attitude, change the way we speak. So now that we have learned to say sorry, according to Psalm 51, I like to do this. Okay, I like to read the whole psalm, because there's just so much in this psalm that cannot be covered tonight. Okay, so I hope you allow me to read the psalm to you while you follow the text on the screen. People of God, this is Psalm 51, and it's the word of God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and a hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Lord, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullock upon thy altar. So the second application is this: be humble. Be quick to see that it is our fault. Don't be self-righteous. Be slow to say that it is the other person's fault. So I want to close by saying this. For broken relationship, for strained relationship, especially among Christians, take the trouble to repair, to restore, and be reconciled to one another. Because that is the calling of a Christian. Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again that we are never clueless, that the Bible has all the answers when it comes to our lives. And we thank you, dear Father, for Psalm 51 that teaches us how to say sorry. Father, forgive us and help us to seek the people that we offended for forgiveness too. For so often, our behavior is so atrocious. Our attitude is so evil. And our words are so hurtful. Lord, forgive us our sin. And we pray, dear Father, that you help those that we sin against, that they will find the strength in you, because they are forgiven by you, to forgive us too. So, Father, we thank you that you have a taste of heaven on earth when we are able to live like this. We thank you, dear Father, for Jesus, because it's only in him and his death on the cross that each one of us can be forgiven and can forgive another person too. So help us, we pray. We ask us in Jesus' name. Amen.